There was a time when changefulness was even more extreme than it is now. I speak of a time before land and sea, before heaven and earth. At that time, firmness and wetness could never agree, neither to join or to stay apart. Fire inflamed this quarrel. Everything was in fluid dispute, instant by instant, doing and undoing themselves. There was no sky, no earth, not a single form could be seen. Each element fought against each other, and everything was out of sorts. Nothing was in its place. The ball of everything could neither be swallowed or spat out. Everything wanted to start itself up and found everything else in its way. Everything wanted to be born at once, and the logjam was bigger than the universe itself. Everything in creation stalled, each thing having a mind of its own, and nothing could agree on anything. Transformation itched feverishly all over, in every place, to transform itself. Every region now teemed with life. Heavens included, where the sky became the dance floor of living stars. On Earth, four-footed animals roved, and in the air flew the feathered birds. But something was missing. The life of the earth, so radiant, so beautiful. But there was no intelligence equal to experiencing its beauty. Such an intelligence would rule the earth as soon as it appeared. But it seemed doubtful how it was to be done. It was probably Prometheus who had the wonderful idea. Promptly, he stood upon the earth where some of the sky still remained from the recent flurry of creation. Prometheus took a golden thread of sky and mixed it with the earth till a living form, born of heaven and earth, rose out of his shaping hands. That is why all animals look down toward Earth, while humankind raise their eyes to the sky. Prometheus squeezed together light and clay and made human beings, who from their mixed origin have wishes as varied as the strands from which they were woven. So arrived upon the earth what we know as human life. Those first fortunate beings walked on an earth enjoying its first golden age. Newness then was pristine. In that first age, there were no laws, because no laws were needed. All were spontaneously good. But humankind is a different matter. There are so many of them, everywhere, in their activity, is so variously evil. I don't know where to start. On top of that, they oppress every other creature. They are a disease. They must all be wiped out. The earth cries out to be protected from their endless activities. But if you think my plan is too drastic, let me give you an example from my own experience of how bad things have got. Let me tell you about my stay with Lycaon. I descended disguised to see how things were down there. It was worse than the stories I'd heard. I came into a land bristling with the lairs of human wolves. It grew dark as I entered the inhospitable den of Lycaon, King of Arcadia. To play fair with the household, I let show a little that I was indeed a god. The attendants showed me some respect, but Lycaon would have none of that. He was not a man to be civil. He drew aside his servants and said, "Let's have none of this nonsense. I shall show you that our guest is but a mortal like ourselves. I shall murder him this very night. But first, let's serve him a choice supper." Lycaon had a hostage from a neighboring tribe. This hostage he killed and cooked into a soup, which he served to me with his own hand. The shores reappeared, and the rivers ran once again in their channels. The hills were green again, and the oceans blue. Although still wet and dripping, the world was back again. But Deucalion had tears in his eyes, and Pyrrha asked him, "Why?" Deucalion said, "The earth is empty. Apart from us, there are none left on the earth. You are the last woman, and I am the last man. What hope have we left? We have no fellows for community." Pyrrha replied, we must ask for an oracle. Doubtless the gods have some plan for us. So they turned their steps to the only temple they could find. When they arrived at the slippery steps, they threw themselves down with outstretched arms. Tamis listened and then spoke. No delay. Leave now the temple, loosening your clothes and covering your heads as though with a shroud. Find some rocky place and bend down and clutch a rock. Then, with your backs and head turned round behind you, throw the bones of your great mother. Pyrrha turned to Deucalion. We cannot do this, she said. This is too much disrespect to our hallowed parents. Deucalion replied, oracles are from the gods. They do not tell us to do anything evil. What if the great mother it speaks of were the earth? Then the bones would be stones. And surely we may throw them. Hesitant, they felt their way down the steps of the temple to where rocks and stones lay dislodged by the recent flood. From such stony seeds, what could grow? They covered their heads with a veil and turned around, loosening their clothes. They picked up the stones and threw them behind them. Then a thing happened impossible to believe if tradition did not vouch for it. When they threw the stones, they did not hear them clatter like dead things. No. They landed softly like living creatures. They lost the rigidity of rock, and their softness acquired living shape. Their surfaces, still wet from the flood, became the softer parts of flesh. The drier core became their bones. The veins of the rocks became veins, of course. It all happened swiftly. The rocks Deucalion threw became men, and the rocks Pyrrha threw turned into women. Thank you. this is why the present race of men and women are able to endure hard labor and much more. Human endurance is the proof by which you know this story to be true. When we speak of having true grit, we speak truer than we think.